Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. We started last week responding to suffering, and we're going to continue that theme, that idea. Have you ever built a snowman? Not this past year. But if you have, you know that you start with a small handful of snow and you pack it together. But to get the big balls of snow that it takes to build a real good snowman, you start with that small amount and you just keep adding to it and adding to it and rolling it on the ground. Because snow picks up snow. The suffering and the persecution Peter and the others were facing may have been small at one time. But just like the snow will add to itself, the persecution, the suffering for those who are going to live for Christ may start out seemingly fairly small, but it's going to increase. And while you and I might not use the word suffering or persecution today in the U.S. because it is so small, it will grow. It will grow. How will you respond to the suffering persecution causes? How will you respond to suffering? 1 Peter chapter 4, we're going to read the first 11 verses. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How will you respond to suffering? Prepare to respond to suffering by deciding to suffer for Christ. Live out Christ's victory. Be ready to suffer for the name of Christ. Chapter 3 tells us of the victory Christ has won over sin, death, and the grave. And we sang about that this morning, that he has won the victory, that we get to call him our Lord and our Savior because Jesus willingly took on flesh, submitted his will to the will of the Father, and went to the cross. But because of his obedience, he defeated sin, he defeated death, he defeated the grave, and on the third day he rose again. So Christ died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. And since Christ has done this, suffering in the flesh on the cross, arm yourselves with the same purpose. Is it just me, or do you ever imagine what you would do if you were the one on the beach and somebody said, either say that you don't believe in Christ or I'm going to chop your head off? or if someone had a gun to your head, say that you don't believe in Jesus or I'm going to shoot you, what would you do? He says, arm yourself with the same purpose, that you're going to live for Christ, that same attitude, that you will die and suffer in the flesh for the will of God. Remember, the suffering will come when others make fun of you for living for Christ, when you do not go along to get along. The word there is malign. Throw out of alignment, malign, make fun of. Have you ever been made fun of because you didn't tell the kind of jokes that everybody else told? Did you ever get made fun of because you wouldn't drink like they drink? That you wouldn't do the things, that you wouldn't say the things, that you wouldn't go the places that they went? Are you willing to suffer for Christ? Then he says something interesting. He talks about what's needed. For the time already past is sufficient, having pursued this. And so it takes discipline and grit to live the Christian life. It takes discipline and grit. How many of you would describe yourself as disciplined? How many of you would describe yourself as having grit? I don't know if we Americans understand. I don't know if we Americans understand what it will become like in this country, because we think what's happening in the rest of the world, particularly the Middle East, will always happen over there. But it's coming. It's coming. How will you respond? Decide to suffer for Christ. Decide to suffer for Christ. Why is it inevitable? Because Jesus said that the world is going to hate you because the world already hates me. And if the world hates Jesus and we are following him, so guess what is in store for you? So decide to follow Jesus. Decide to suffer for Christ. And he says, decide to suffer for Christ because the time of living the sensual, sinful life is past. Live a life that is sold out to Christ. All in, as some would say. Now, I know, Mr. Alabama, that it was Dabo Swinney that first coined that phrase, or at least that I heard it, when he took over as head coach in the middle of the season in about, 2007? But he talked about being all in. Are you all in for Christ? Are you sold out for Christ? Or is it only when things are going your way? Only when everything is happening your way? When everything is good, then I'm all in for Christ. No. That's not what he's talking about here. And that's not what I'm challenging you to live. I'm challenging you to live for Christ even when things are terrible. When things are bad. He says, you've had enough time for the sensual, sinful life. Look at the list Peter gives. He talks about sensuality and lust, and that refers to sexual sin. And no doubt some within the sound of my voice struggle with pornography. Then he talks about drunkenness, carousing, and drinking parties. All have to do with your attitude toward alcohol. Go home and read Proverbs chapter 23, because in verse 32, wine is described as a serpent, a viper that bites and stings. Now, I grew up in Oklahoma, and the Wichita Mountains were literally within sight of my grandmother's house. I didn't know there was another snake created other than a rattlesnake. And so that's kind of where I developed my idea of two kinds of snakes. There's either a live snake or a good snake, and I'll make a live snake a good snake every chance I get. There's a town just south of Lawton that has a rattlesnake roundup every year. Now, maybe you know how to pick up a snake and keep it from biting you, but I don't, so I just stay away from snakes. when I was pastoring the little church in during seminary and outside of Edna, the church was Edna Hill. It was outside of Dublin, Texas. We had walked up the dirt road to see a family in the church, and on our way back, you know, my kids were about, well, Lauren was three about that point. There was a rattlesnake stretched across the road. Tim said, "Oh, that would be real good to eat a rattlesnake like that." I said, "Are you going to clean it?" So I went back up to the guy's house and got his shotgun and blew his head off. So be careful. Go home and read Proverbs 23. In all of this, he says, time passed. Time's passed. And so Peter reminds us that we don't go along with the crowd. And when we don't, they're going to be surprised. And they're going to make fun of us. But remember that you are going to give an account to the one who is to judge the living and the dead. That phrase has always struck me, who is to judge the living and the dead. Well, the living I kind of get because, you know, we're having an impact on people. But the truth of it is that there are people that impacted your life that have been dead for 100 years. Because how we live will continue out for time. He who is to judge the living and the dead. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming when we will give account to Him for our lives, for the choices we've made and the influence that we've had on others. And Peter then considered the case of those who had died physically. Physical death is not the end for followers of Christ. The resurrection awaits. Eternal life in the presence of Jesus awaits. And living for Jesus is worth it. Decide to suffer for Christ. How politically correct are you? I love living in a small town like Franklin. One of the things I enjoy is taking the small town newspaper now. Actually, my mother-in-law takes it, and I take it home. That works out good for me. While all the newspapers I've ever paid attention to had a section where you could write in to the editor, letters to the editor, only newspapers like the Franklin Press have a feature like rants and raves. Now, whether this one was meant as a rant or meant as a rave, I don't know. But one caught my eye a couple weeks ago. If you are intolerant of others, you are not a Christian. My first thought was, what do you mean by intolerant? You know, intolerant has become our day's four-letter word. If you call someone intolerant, you have just lowered the boom on them. I looked up the word in the Webster's dictionary and decided I must be intolerant. While I don't think it's right for us, you, me, any of us to yell or at someone else or belittle them in any way or be rude to them because of their beliefs and choices, I do need to be true to the Lord. I do need to be true to the Lord. And it struck me that this issue going on is that I really need to be true to the Lord. And if that upsets other people, then I guess they're just going to have to be upset. With all the hubbub over HB2, House Bill 2, the bathroom bill, and gay rights and gay marriage, I'm going to align with what God says in His Word. No matter what the president, no matter what the governor, no matter what the mayor, no matter who anyone else says, I am going to align with the Lord. And let me just say this, that if you have a problem with something I say, be sure that your problem is not with God Himself. You and I can agree to disagree, but if you disagree with what the Lord says, you will give an account. Have you decided to suffer? Are you ready to suffer for Christ? Are you going to hold to what God's Word says? Or do you have such a low view of God and who He is and His Word that you think biblical truth and biblical values do not apply anymore? I got a call from a lady once that took me to task for something I had said from the pulpit. What got her most excited during the conversation was when I disagreed with her that not everyone is a child of God. And I said, oh yes, everyone's a child of God. I said, do you mean by that everyone driving up and down the road, that everyone is a child of God? Oh yes. I said, no ma'am, that's not true. John chapter 1 verse 12 makes it clear that that is not true. But what saddens me the most about the call was not the disagreement so much. It was her apparent attitude that going along with what the world says is more important than living for Christ. Even suffering for Christ. Are you all in for living for the glory of Christ? Or do your pleasures, your wanting to have fun, your wanting to fit in with the crowd outweigh whatever the Lord says? How will you respond to suffering? Respond to suffering by making your life count now. Make your life count now. Live according to God's will and make your life count now. What you believe about the future determines how you live today. You know, I looking at the internet this week, there was something that said a high percentage of Americans, if they had an emergency that would take $1,000, would not be able to lay hands on $1,000. Can I be Dave Ramsey for a moment? Every one of you needs to have an emergency fund of at least $1,000. But you know what the real problem is because we got to live right now, because we don't know about tomorrow. And what Peter is saying is live now, because tomorrow is going to happen, because Christ is going to deal with us. What my friend on the phone's problem may be is that she thinks that God will just pat everyone on the head and say, it's okay, come on in. No, there is one unpardonable sin. When you say no to Jesus, when you say, I don't need you, I don't care about you, then you will suffer eternally for that decision. Judgment day is coming. The end of all things is near. And he says, be of sound judgment. Be of sound judgment and be self-controlled. Not just be of sound judgment and be self-controlled, because he said to pray, to lift others up, to seek God's face, not just his hand, to seek after the Lord, to draw close to him in intimacy. Be of sound judgment and self-controlled so that you can pray. And after doing so, continually make your life count by how you interact with others. He says, keep on having an intense, stretched out type of love for others. And he gave a reason, because love covers a multitude of sins. You know, life sometimes creates friction. Rub your hands together. If you did it hard enough, long enough, what would happen? Well, you know what happens in the cold. You rub your hands together to get them warm. Well, when we live so close together and we begin to rub up against each other, what we need is the lubricant of love. Have you ever had oil all over your hands? Boy, when you do, you don't feel that skin, do you? Because love covers a multitude of sin. Always want the best for others. What that does takes care of the time that we've just spoken of. Then he talks about being open, hospitable, wanting to help others without complaint. And Peter gave that instruction because lodging for those who traveled and those who were reaching into new areas for ministry, they didn't have the Hampton Inns. And he said, be hospitable, open to others. Then he talks about making your life count in the life of your church by putting to use the spiritual gift that God has given you. Now, Paul was very much more specific in identifying the gifts. Peter basically broke them down into speaking or serving. And every one of us in this room who are followers of Christ, who have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, have been given a spiritual gift. Yours is either speaking or it's serving in two categories. And it's one or the other, but it's all for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard of Samuel and Mary Ansley? Anybody? I didn't think you would. Have you ever heard of their daughter, Susanna? Well, you may not know Susanna's name because she never preached a sermon or published a book or founded a church. She is known as the mother of Methodism because her two of her sons, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, applied the example and the teachings and the circumstances of their home life. Samuel and Mary, then Susanna, lived out their lives in such a way as to make their lives count. If the Lord tarries for another 200 plus years, do you think anyone will write of you about the impact that your life had? Not just on the environment in which you were living, not just your day, but for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for the glory of God. Are you making your life count now? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Is He in control of your life? So take inventory. One of the things that we're supposed to do as we Sabbath on this day is to take inventory of ourselves. Are you living according to God's will? Or do your desires, your appetites determine how you live instead of God's word? Is He your Savior? Have you asked for forgiveness? What is it that you have repented of? How loving are you to others? Are you willing to overlook, let cover the things in your marriage, in your home, your workplace? What about that spiritual gift that God has given to every believer? Are you using your spiritual gift for the glory of God? So when, not if, but when the persecution starts, and it gets packed on top of persecution, how will you respond? Will you decide today to live only for Jesus? Even if it means suffering? Are you making your life count now?